Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on this Monday, 22nd of November, 2021. I'm Craig Minch, along with Davis Maddock. We got you covered all week long here on the show. Tomorrow on our program, we're going to break down the DFS slate for Thanksgiving. I'll be in tomorrow with George Kurtz, and then I'm done until Sunday. So Davis will handle the reins on Wednesday with George. And, of course, our programming continues here on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to have Pro Football Today, In-Game Live, all of our normal shows, but we are preempted on Thursday. So if you do not see our shows the rest of the week and this is the only day you're watching because you're off from work or whatever, you're going on vacation, going to see your family, happy Thanksgiving to all of you from us here at Sports Grid. All right, here are our headlines here on the show. Giants and Bucks. Bucks laying 10.5 on Monday Night Football, so of course the Giants are going to go into Tampa Bay and win this one outright, right? Like, that's the way that the season has gone. Ohio State, Seton Hall. Tons of college basketball going on this afternoon and tonight. Great week if you're a college basketball fan. Grizzlies and Jazz headline 10-game slate tonight in the NBA. And then Davis, of course, this one caught my eye this weekend as Florida Gators have fired head coach Dan Mullen. And you know, certainly this was a very big hire at the time when they brought Mullen in, Davis. There was no question that he was going to be their coach of the future. But they had the worst record in the SEC this season. And they asked Mullen if he wanted to coach the game against Florida State this week. He said no. I know we don't do a ton of fantasy college football here on the show, but this is my team. Like, this is the only team, Davis, that I really root for and coachless at the moment. So it seems to be well received. Like, a lot of people feel like best to just do this, nothing against Mullen, but I am supremely curious to see who they bring in. This is as good a job as any in the country.
Is it? Is it as good of a job as any? I guess they kind of have two quarterbacks right now, which means if you have two, that's the old saying, right? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. But they theoretically, Florida should have this huge recruiting advantage, right? They have all the money in the world, the best facilities. They are in basically the hotbed of recruiting for football. But Craig, I got to tell you, what did I say when the college football season began? I said I'm locked in until Oklahoma loses. Oklahoma lost. What did I do on Saturday? Yeah. Tea time. Did not watch a snap. Didn't check any scores. I played college football daily fantasy, so I checked the scores in the afternoon after I got off the golf course. But yeah, I'm done. I'm out. They lost me until next year. That's what happens.
All right. Well, listen, we got the playoffs coming up. We got the bowl games coming up. We got to get you back in there for a few more weeks here. But this is the final. This is big rivalry week of the season. And I would tell you, Davis, that if nothing else, and I believe I said this last week on the show or Sunday, I don't remember, but Davis, Thursday night's game between Mississippi and Mississippi State will be a classic. It is every year. The Egg Bowl is always amazing. Crazy things happen in that game. Could be Lane Kiffin's final game coaching in Mississippi. Who knows? I would venture a guess that that will be the best football game played of the day on Thanksgiving Day. Will be that game that night. How about tonight's game, Davis? Giants-Bucks. I know you hate the Giants, but got to be very well aware of these underdogs coming through. It's I don't know. How can you not think
of it? By the way, the Buccaneers, we have seen some holes in the armor, right? They lose to the Washington football team. They lose to the Saints in the game where Jameis Winston ended up going out for the season, basically losing to Trevor Siemian. And I guess the last time the Bucs looked really good against a competitive team was week one. I mean, if literally look at the Buccaneers schedule, right? So they beat the Falcons. The Falcons are useless. Mm-hmm. They scuffle to get that win against the Patriots. They blow out the Dolphins. I guess they were never in threat of losing to the Eagles, but the Eagles were coming back against them. The Bears, you know, who wouldn't beat the Bears at this point, lose to the Saints. Like, if this was like college football where you're looking at marquee wins, they have a marquee win against the Dallas Cowboys, and that's it.
Yeah, and the Giants, you know, look, they should be healthy. They're coming off having some time off. Saquon Barkley reportedly is going to play tonight. So we'll, you know, sort of see how things work out for them for sure. Speaking of Thursday, real quick, does Simeon being benched and Taysom Hill move the needle at all for you in that game?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, though, because the Taysom Hill package has actually gotten smaller and smaller. You know, we thought with Jameis getting injured, we thought we would see lots of him, but he has played fewer snaps at quarterback. He's been playing more snaps as like a slot wide receiver or whatever. And in fact, he's up to playing more on special teams now, like back on kickoffs and as like a punt gunner and stuff. So I don't know why. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me that Trevor Siemian, of all people, would be the guy playing quarterback for them, given how much Sean Payton has loved Taysom Hill in the past, but I don't think we're getting it.
Yeah, two perennial playoff teams in the NFL, the Saints and the Seattle Seahawks, could both be looking on the outside in the 21-21 NFL playoffs. At least that's what it would appear right now. Sort of a make or break game, I would think, for both teams, Cincinnati and Las Vegas. The team that wins, huge.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Advantage in a head-to-head matchup for the final wild card position. And so those teams went against each other yesterday, and the game was mostly one-sided. From a fantasy perspective, we'll break it all down for you coming up next. Bengals and Raiders right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We continue on this Monday. Stay on the grid. Don't worry. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Supposed to be a lot of points between the Bengals and Raiders yesterday, and certainly there were a few on the side of the Bengals, but not much on the side of Las Vegas. A very one-sided game played as 3 years in a row. The Raiders have gotten off to really good starts, and it looks like really bad finishes. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts on the side of the Bengals. Joe Burrow, a quiet day, 20 of 29, 148, 11 rushing yards and a touchdown. Joe Mixon had a really nice game, 123 on the ground and two scores. Tyler Boyd, 6 for 49, 14 rushing yards, and Jamar Chase was just 3 for 32, also rush for 8 yards, and ended up saving his fantasy day with a touchdown. Not much for, unfortunately, T. Higgins in this game. The Bengals really didn't need to do much because the Raiders just kept turning the ball over on downs and giving the ball back. Derek Carr, another rough game for him, that's for sure. 215 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Josh Jacobs has not really been the guy that we saw from a couple of years ago, that's for sure. 37 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 24 yards. Hunter Renfrow, 4 for 30, 5 rushing yards. And the only fantasy playable offensive player on the Raiders right now looks to be Darren Waller, who had 7 receptions for 116 yards. Derek Carr, as honest and basically as forthcoming as he's probably ever been, talked about the difficulty of losing after the game yesterday.
I'll let you guys talk about that stuff. You can watch it and all that kind of stuff respectfully. Like, you can watch it and, you know, come up with your own things and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to try my best to execute the game plan like I always do, you know, but you know, being a Raider fan for a long time, you know, 20 years of this crap is enough. You know, I'm fed up. I just want to be a part of the moment it changes. You know, I want that so bad. And that's what keeps driving me. You know, I get pissed off and I get upset and I stand up here and I've done this way too many times than I'd like to do it. You know, because in my heart, the men in our room, the way we work, the way we go after things, it shouldn't always end like this crap. And so we have another one in just a few days against a really good football team. So if we don't want to stand up here and have to do this again, we better get it right.
Davis, as you would say, tough scene right now for the Raiders for sure. And the Bengals, you know, honestly, really weren't challenged very much in this game. And so they just can't hand it off the ball to Joe Mixon a lot. And I don't know if you caught Mixon's final touchdown, but I mean, I don't ever call a team not trying or not trying to play, but my gosh, like they gave Mixon the ball and I didn't even see anybody close to him when he rushed for a second touchdown.
Yeah, I've never heard Derek Carr talk before. I'm realizing, did you know that Derek Carr basically talks like Kevin Costner from Yellowstone? Like I had no idea that Derek Carr was such a cowboy. I mean, there are bigger fantasy storylines to talk about here, but that really took me back hearing him talk like that. So big fantasy storyline for me, two of them. One, I'm done with T. Higgins. Like Jamar Chase is just better than him, and so the fact that he is put into this secondary role, like we're taking T. Higgins in like the 10th round next year. Like I'm not doing this with T. Higgins again. And then also, I know a crummy role for Josh Jacobs on the ground, but for the very first time in his career, five receptions in back-to-back games. They made Jalen Richard a game day inactive, which just meant that it was Josh Jacobs' turn to catch some checkdowns, which, you know, always feels negligible when we're talking about it, but that does make a pretty big difference to his fantasy value, because if and when the Raiders ever play competitive games, Josh Jacobs is going to get those goal line touches. So pretty nice for Josh Jacobs. I know the results in this game were bad, but that is a big deal for him.
Thanksgiving Day game for the Raiders coming up. Arizona will get Kyler Murray back. Presumably they're off this week. Colt McCoy went back to the McCoy from a couple of weeks ago. He threw 44 passes, 328 yards, and also two touchdowns. So good fantasy day for him. James Conner, what does he do? Scores touchdowns. Another one, also five receptions, 37 yards, 62 rushing yards. Rondell Moore, a lot of little short passes in this one, screens and such. So he got you a huge fantasy day, but 11 catches, 51 yards. It's a very odd line, no doubt. AJ Green 4 for 78, and look at Zach Ertz. My gosh, great trade for Arizona for sure. I don't know if they've ever had as good a tight end as they've had with Ertz. 8 receptions, 88 yards, and 2 scores as the Cardinals go to Seattle and make the Seahawks look terrible on offense. Russell Wilson, my gosh, 14 of 26, 207 passing yards, no touchdowns. They don't have a running game. DJ Dallas ended up scoring. Tyler Lockett mostly on one play, 4 receptions, 115 yards, and DK Metcalf was targeted a bunch, but only caught 4 balls for 31 yards. Very odd set of circumstances also surrounding the end of this game. Pete Carroll did his post-game press conference, a few questions in, decided to leave, and then 15 minutes later, decided to come back. And he talked about walking out and then walking back in after the game.
Just disappointed that I don't have any new answers for you, you know, in similar situations. So that's a real challenge for the staff. We have to find our ways to get our guys to execute better so that we're not in the same situations. I mean, it's like the same story, you know, and that can drive you a little bit batty.
Pete, your frustration is understandable. Why did you feel the need to come back in?
Because we've had a relationship. I have a relationship with the media that I think I respect the heck out of everything you guys do. And I know you got stories to write. And I think if I shortchange you on the stories, and that you've got a job too. And I've felt that way my whole life in coaching. So I did it out of respect to you guys. And because I know you got a job to do. And I don't need to make it hard on you. So I'm available because it makes sense to me why I should be here right now.
Is this as frustrated as you've been here?
Yes. Absolutely. And not even close. Not even close.
And what gives you hope that this can still turn around right now?
There's so many, I have so many reasons, you know. It's the guys that we're coaching. It's the way we operate. It's the attitude that they bring on a regular basis. It's the coaches that have the work ethic to keep pushing and attacking the issues. And I mean, everything about it, you know, everything about it. Because I don't feel any different. I feel like we're gonna win next week, and we're gonna go play a great game on the East Coast, and come on back here and get ready for the next one. And I don't have any other thought in my mind. I'm just disappointed that I got to keep coming back in here and talk about the same stuff, and don't feel like I have good answers for you, because our answers so far have not turned it. And so that's why I said I thought I was really clear about it. It starts with me. I've got to get this done, and I got to help my guys get it done.
Davis doesn't look like it's getting done. For Seattle, a lot more questions and answers. This could be the end of the line, I would guess, for Carroll. Great running backs in the past when Carson was good, when Lynch was good, and you know they had that great defense. But now things have definitely shifted for sure. I covered Pete Carroll when he won the championship at USC. It was one of the most dynamic college football teams, Davis, I can ever remember. Lendale White, Reggie Bush, Dwayne Jarrett, Matt Leinart. I know they didn't work out in the NFL, but they were awesome in college. Great defense too. But I don't know, man. It kind of feels like this is it for Seattle.
I mean, it's definitely it. Didn't we know it was it in the preseason when Russ was like, you know, trade me, and they decided not to do it. But I think that both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are going to be on new teams next year. I do not think Pete Carroll will be done as the coach of the Seahawks, because I don't think you want to lose your coach and your star quarterback in the same offseason. And it feels like the reason why the star quarterback is leaving is because philosophically he does not see eye to eye with the head coach, right? Because Pete Carroll wants to run the ball. He wants to play good defense. There's that magic number thing that he believes in. I think it's like 48. If you get 48 successful rushes and pass completions, you should win the game more often than not. And I don't know. Pete Carroll coaches football like he's 75 years old, which he is. He is the oldest head coach in the NFL, which you don't think of that looking at him because he looks young and he sounds young, but he is. He is the oldest head coach in the NFL.
And always, by the way, top notch with media and awesome with media. And for the first time, maybe ever yesterday, lost it. I mean, literally lost it, left in the middle.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Of a press conference and then came back. You just never see that with Pete Carroll. Okay, well, off and running. We continue here. More fantasy to talk about. Of course, we got Dallas and Kansas City. A little bit of a dud. We'll hit it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure you head on over to Twitter and follow us there at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information on all of the things that we're discussing here on the show, whether it's the show before us, the morning after, the early line, our show Fantasy Sports Today, of course, Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast Later, In-Game Live, all of the great programming that we have here on SportsGrid. You can follow us there at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Well, the most hyped game of the week turns out to be a dud yet again, a point total, about I think close to 60, if I'm not mistaken, 56 maybe over on FanDuel this weekend, was the Chiefs and Cowboys in a very painful game to watch if you had a lot of fantasy shares on the side of Dallas. Now let's start with Kansas City first here. And Patrick Mahomes did not throw a touchdown in this game, 260 yards, 11 rushing yards, and continues to throw picks. He threw one interception. Clyde Edwards-Helaire scored a touchdown. What do you know? 63 rushing yards, two receptions, 13 yards. Tyreek Hill, 9 for 77 and 30 rushing yards. And then the one constant in Kansas City's offense, always Travis Kelce, 5 for 74 and ended up scoring on a run up the middle for a touchdown. On the side of Dallas, this kind of resembled the game like it did 2 weeks ago against Denver. So I wonder if KC had found that. I don't know why Atlanta did not. Dak Prescott did not throw a touchdown as well, although he had his opportunities, threw one into the end zone for a pick. 28 of 43, 216, two interceptions. Ezekiel Elliott rushed for 32 yards, six receptions, 36 yards, was in and out of the game early on with an ankle issue. Michael Gallup was the leading receiver for Dallas because Amari Cooper was out, and CeeDee Lamb suffered a concussion. And then Dalton Schultz, who I suppose will be a pretty good fire-up play coming on Thanksgiving. Davis, he was 6 for 53 and got some points at the end of the game on their final drive. But the game didn't work out in the way that we thought it would. That's to say the least. And I suppose that's kind of the underlying theme of this season.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs just came in and clearly had a plan to control the ball. They ran a lot with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in his return. They were not really taking deep shots at all. A lot of their offense was predicated on short passes to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Some stuff to Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, but just certainly not the Chiefs of yore, looking much more like an Alex Smith-led team on offense, which truly disgusts me. Just what a massive, massive bummer to have the most fun team in the NFL basically decide to play like a shadow of their former selves. And, you know, Dak was bad in this game. And I think what we have learned this season is that when Amari and CeeDee are either not available or banged up, the Cowboys offense just has a hard time because so much of what Kellen Moore is able to do on offense is predicated on having Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb win one-on-one battles on the outside. And they, right, I mean, we saw that on the interception, right? Dak throws a pass to CeeDee Lamb, about 30 yards, corner of the end zone, and CeeDee loses. He loses to the cornerback. It gets intercepted. He bangs his head on the turf. Pretty bad play there. But those are the kind of plays that when the Dallas offense is firing, they are succeeding on those plays. And when you remove Amari Cooper from that offense, it just becomes a lot more difficult for them. We saw them try to get some stuff going with Tony Pollard, and he actually looked pretty good. You know, they got into the red zone a couple times off the back of those runs. But Zeke at this point is the guy for Monty Python, right? Every game he bangs his ankle, he bangs his knee, and he just hobbles back in. And I don't know. I mean, am I worried about the Cowboys losing this game? No. I think they can find a way to get past the Raiders even without Amari and CeeDee. And that's honestly a lot of faith in Kellen Moore figuring out a game plan without those guys. But mostly I'm just sad that this game was so bad. I was expecting so much more.
Yeah, all three of the late games, later games, the 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 Central games
sucked.
were really almost unwatchable, I would think. And I had my fair share of watching all of the games yesterday. Another one of those free days for me on Sunday, just watching all of them. All right, well, the marquee game of the week ended up being the Sunday night game where the Steelers scored 27 fourth quarter points to jump back in and take a lead against the Chargers, but the Chargers found a way to win this one. Justin Herbert, anytime he has a bad game, he seems like the next game he has a really good game. There's not really two back-to-back bad games for Herbert in his career. 30 for 41, 382 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, but look at those rushing numbers. 90 rushing yards for Herbert yesterday. Wow. Austin Eckler, 40 fantasy points, 50 rushing yards, 6 receptions, 65 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Keenan Allen was 9 for 112. He's the one that came back to beat me last night, was up 18. He got 20. And then good to see Mike Williams back involved in the offense. He had 5 receptions, 97 yards, and a touchdown. The star of the game from a fantasy angle, no question, was Austin Eckler, as I mentioned, more than 40 fantasy points, and was asked about the execution of the offense and how things got done, and he basically pulled out his best Allen Iverson.
Practice. I'm telling you, practice this week was, it was great. It was great. It gave us all a great feeling coming into this week, and that's where it clicked. It didn't even click on it showed in the game because we didn't practice. And that's the biggest emphasis I'm going to have going forward too. Like, it's got to be something that we all understand, like, hey, we're practicing. It's not the same physical intensity, but the mental intensity has to be at the all-time high, because now when we get to the game, we have, like, oh, we've already done these plays. It doesn't matter how what the score is, how loud people are cheering, who's in the stands. Like, we've already done this. We can keep our composure. We can go execute.
Well, I guess, Davis, we have to have one of the reporters in Los Angeles interview Eckler and ask him if they had a good practice throughout the week. Then we'll know if the Chargers are going to have a good game on Sunday. Ben Roethlisberger dials it back. 28 of 44, three passing touchdowns for Big Ben in that rally, 273 passing yards. Najee Harris salvaged his day with a touchdown. Rare game with under 50 yards rushing for him. He had just 39. He did have five receptions for 20 yards. Deontay Johnson, 7 for 101 and a score. Chase Claypool back on the field with 14 fantasy points, 5 for 93. And Eric Ebron, haven't mentioned his name quite a bit because Freiermuth has been so good. Three receptions, 24 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Wild game, Davis, from start to finish. Pittsburgh staying in it. Most importantly for me, covering the spread on Sunday Night Football. If you dare take the Chargers as a favorite, you are asking for a big L. And certainly that was the case for me yesterday. So I was quite happy with the outcome from this one.
Yeah, I mean, 27 points in the fourth quarter from the Pittsburgh Steelers. How many times have they even scored 27 points this year? I mean, I feel like they probably had more games with less than that than more than that. I think we're probably looking at some big-time prevent defense from the Los Angeles Chargers there. You know, that the outcome of this game, after the Chargers' second touchdown, I don't think was ever in doubt. But yeah, I mean, good for Ben, turning the clock back a little bit, 273 passing yards. Deontay Johnson, huge game. Eric Ebron suffered a knee injury in this game, so I think we're back to Pat Freiermuth full-time starting tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's pretty usable for fantasy. Deontay Johnson, you know, even with Ben Roethlisberger playing like a total statue, having a great fantasy season, probably going to be a pretty high pick in fantasy next year. And then I thought the biggest story of this game for me was Mike Williams, you know, his resurgence to being a startable player in fantasy again. He had been a sub 15% target share for five games straight before this one. So I was very happy to see him return to, you know, being a good fantasy player. It was very nice.
All right. So that covers all the games. And in the final couple of minutes before we break to fantasy or reality, I suppose I can ask Davis, like, your biggest takeaway in fantasy from the week. I mean, it's obvious that Eckler and Jonathan Taylor had big games for sure. I thought we may have a new emerging running back coming out of this week. I'm not so sure that we do, although I'm, you know, thinking, you know, I'm waiting for Debo to qualify at running back. That would be my thing. But it's just, to me, Davis, it's kind of more of the same here. It's like, the uncertainty on a week-to-week basis of what's happening in the NFL is just wreaking havoc on fantasy. You know, Tennessee in a great matchup really doesn't come through. Kansas City in a great matchup really doesn't come through. Same with Dallas. You're just kind of pulling whatever left of my hair out here each week.
Yeah, I mean, I looking through all of these games, I don't feel like there's anything that happened in Week 11 that is directionally different with any of these teams. I mean, maybe with the Titans, like Ryan Tannehill was a guy you started in fantasy. I think now you would Jimmy Garoppolo, Tua off the waiver wire, probably slightly better options. If Alan Lazard misses another week, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling as a potential guy to start. I know we talked about that last week. And then, you know what, I will say Byron Pringle. We talked about it on the show last week. I said, look, he's the number two wide receiver for the Chiefs. Didn't really matter in that game against the Cowboys, but I think it will matter. That, again, proved itself to be true against the Cowboys. He ran the second most routes, played the second most snaps at wide receiver. So if Pringle's out there on your waiver wire, you know, that one feels pretty decent. Maybe Jarrett Patterson for the – you know what? The biggest thing is actually the Panthers being a fantasy relevant team again. That was a team where you didn't want to start anybody, and now you can start DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and maybe even Robbie Anderson, honestly.
Yeah, no, Cam's look great, and it's interesting that he's probably still sitting on the waiver wire for a lot of people in fantasy as we move forward. All right, so tomorrow on our show, we're going to run through the Thanksgiving Day fantasy slate. Our buddy Jim Sanis, who normally joins us, for those of you who watch every week, he joins us on Friday. He's going to join us on the show tomorrow. So make sure you stay on the grid for that. I'll be in with George Kurtz. We'll recap Monday Night Football and get you ready for a lot of, I think, huge, huge games coming up this week in both the NFL and even college football as well. So we'll take care of that for you. So coming up next, it's time for us to hit on fantasy or reality and a quick discussion here on the Baseball Hall of Fame. New names are out. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For many years playing fantasy baseball, a lot of the names that are on this year's Hall of Fame ballot in Cooperstown are certainly names that you would recognize. This is Davis's favorite thing to do, is engage in this old man baseball Hall of Fame conversation. I can't wait to get started with this coming up in January. But Davis, it's the final time for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens being on the Hall of Fame ballot. It is the first time for Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz being on the Hall of Fame ballot. And of course, the same goes for Curt Schilling, who asked that he could be taken off the ballot coming from this year, but he will be on there as well. So naturally, all the people in my circles are getting all hyped up about this today because the ballot is out.
I mean, you joke, but I actually love the Baseball Hall of Fame and love these discussions, because I'm more interested in baseball from like a historical perspective than I am analyzing it every single day. Because what, so weird, but like when I was a kid, I read all of these like biographies of, you know, the great Yankees, DiMaggio and Mantle and Yogi Berra and all those guys, and Willie Mays and some of those guys. So I am very interested in baseball in a historical context, and baseball is the best sport in a historical context, because you don't have to do the math of like, oh, this guy played in this offense, this guy played in this era, this guy played in this era. A lot of the stuff, you can have guys 50 years apart, and we actually have the tools to kind of analyze them in a proper way, in a way that we don't for football and for basketball. So I love the Baseball Hall of Fame. And the one thing I wish is that Curt Schilling never makes it to the Hall of Fame. Big anti-Curt Schilling guy. One of my least favorite people in professional sports.
Oh, well, he's going to have a hard time asking to come off the ballot and then be put back on. But final time for Clemens and Bonds. This is it, 10 years in. So looking forward to that discussion. Davis and I will carry that once the football season comes closer to an end. Let's bring in Brett Levy. He's in our studios today at Sports Grid, and he's ready to deliver this edition of Fantasy or Reality.
All right, guys. Yeah, we are starting off with a little college football, because we have seen a lot of job openings already this offseason. And just to name a few, in Power 5, we've got USC, Florida, LSU, TCU, Washington, Washington State, and Virginia Tech all already open, not to mention what's going on with Miami. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. USC is the best open job in college football. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? Theoretically, it should be. USC has this amazing storied history. They, they have all the money you could ever want for a college football team. They have this very desirable location in Southern California. The campus is beautiful. They have lots to offer young athletes with the NIL stuff. You know, if you want to earn money when you're in college, USC is going to give you the opportunity to do that. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they've been cursed. Like since the and I don't even remember who was the coach of those of the liner, you know, Reggie Bush teams and stuff.
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, you're right. Yeah. So it just feels like such a weird thing. Like, I don't know. And this is probably my Big 12 bias speaking, but I think if I got to handpick any of the jobs that are open this offseason for sure, I think I'd pick Texas. Like, it just feels like Texas should be a total top 5 year. Like, Texas has no excuse for not being better than Oklahoma. And I feel like, you know, if I got to call the shots, I would be able to make that happen. But, you know, they have become such a laughingstock that it's probably not true. So this probably is a reality. And by the way, I'm assuming that the Texas job is open, but that has not quite happened yet. I think it's coming, though.
Yeah, Sarkisian in his first year, maybe his only year. But boy, I do not agree with this at all. Now, I understand Texas may go in the SEC. They are going to the SEC, if I'm not mistaken, as they expand. So that's definitely part of the conversation. But Urban Meyer sitting out there right now, Davis, looking around. Oh, man, he's got his choice in the offseason. A lot of good schools, but let's get real. LSU and Florida, so far ahead, USC. This is not even close. Currently coach of the SEC, whoever gets to coach those two schools are going to be making a lot more money than whoever coaches in the Pac-12. It is a foregone conclusion. Those are two unbelievable gigs open now. LSU's in a little bit of a rut. They obviously, you know, were, I think, helped tremendously by Joe Brady, whose name, by the way, Davis, will come up for head coach of LSU. Joe Brady leaving maybe the offensive coordinator position of Carolina to go back and coach LSU and be the head coach there. That is definitely interesting. And I know that maybe we don't see things the same way, but coaching the Gators is a huge, huge job. And whoever gets the head coach there is going to be making so much money too. So this is a big fantasy. USC is third for me on the pecking order. It is either LSU or Florida, depending on how you feel. And then I got USC at number three, Brett.
All right. Well, our next question is going to be about Major League Baseball, Craig, because the Yankees made some moves yesterday, but one name really stuck out to me, and that's I don't know if he was ever the Yankees' top prospect, but I think he was with Oakland prior. A's top prospect, Clint Frazier, was released outright yesterday, Craig. And look, we heard a lot about Clint Frazier in New York here, so Craig, I'll start with you for this one. The Yankees made a mistake in their handling of Clint Frazier. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is an easy, easy fantasy. The Yankees are an extremely bright, well-run organization. No matter how much money they're spending, they also are very good on the international market, very good with prospects. They know who is what. The problem, unfortunately, for Clint Frazier is he's a Yankee. And when you're a Yankee, no matter who you are, you get a ton of attention. You put Clint Frazier coming up with Davis's team, the Kansas City Royals, we probably don't even think twice about them cutting this dude just because he is Frazier and because he is popular. He's also outspoken, you know, sort of gets that rap. It's also not a huge shock here that we saw Tyler Wade find a new home faster than Clint Frazier as Wade was traded to the Angels today. Those were the two names that were let go by the Yankees. So inevitably, Davis, Frazier will get picked up by somebody. It will be, you know, a waiver claim, non-roster invitee to some spring training camp. But this is just another case. Unfortunately, it's an overhyped Yankees prospect that does not work out. Simple and plain. I don't blame the Yankees for cutting bait. I got fantasy.
I don't know if I blame the Yankees for cutting bait, but generally speaking, the blame for situations like this, it's on them for not fostering his abilities. I mean, look, the only time he played as a starter was in the COVID-shortened 2020 season. He had 160 plate appearances. And Craig, he hit the cover off the ball in 2020. He had a 244 ISO. He had a 388 weighted on-base average, 8 home runs, 3 steals, part-time player the year before that. 222 ISO, 333 weighted on base average. Steamer and Zips have him as an above average major leaguer. He was a first round pick in 2013. It is a mistake to lose a player of that caliber for no return, no money, no draft pick, no player to be named later, no bag of balls, no vending machine in the clubhouse, right? Like, that is a mistake, and it doesn't matter for the Yankees because their financial resources are so vast. I mean, even the financial resources for the Yankees are even greater than that of the Dodgers because of the way that the Yankees generate their income via their TV network. But it is a mistake to lose a player of that caliber for no return. So reality, this was a mistake.
All right. I agree, Davis. I think they could have traded him multiple times. But I'm not the baseball guy. I'm a silly Mets fan. But our last question is about Venus and Serena and their father, because there's a new movie out. Started streaming on Friday, guys. King Richard, it's the Venus and Serena Williams story, but it's about mostly their father. And, you know, reviews are in. Will Smith has done a great job with the role. So, Davis, Will Smith will be nominated for an Oscar for his role as King Richard in King Richard. Is this fantasy or reality?
So, I'm probably going to watch this movie, one, because it's available on HBO Max and I don't have to go to the theaters. And then the other part of that is I feel like this movie, very similar to the Pursuit of Happiness, which was a huge movie when it came out, I feel like this is one of those movies they made for Will Smith just to get an Oscar nomination. Like, there are these certain roles that they know Will Smith is a great actor, and if we write this movie and do this movie in such a way, this guy is getting an Oscar nomination for sure. And this one just feels lock and loaded. Don't know if he'll win the award, but feels like locked and loaded he will get a nomination for Best Actor for his performance in this movie. And I base that just off of the 90-second trailer I saw before I saw No Time to Die.
Yeah, so I have not seen this yet, and it definitely was on the menu for the weekend. Unfortunately, my son got a little ill this weekend, and so, as you can imagine, I was, like, so wrapped up in that and didn't get a chance to stream it this weekend. But I will say this. I think Davis's analysis here is spot on. I don't know that I could go any other direction other than to think of perfect role, perfect movie, perfect story, and when Will Smith does a movie like this, in the end, tends to get at least nominated for it. So good question. And I think it is a reality here. I'm looking forward to seeing this for sure. It is definitely on near the top of my list as far as things to watch. I would tell you, Davis, since we're on the streaming topic, the one show that I was able to catch this weekend that now I'm caught up on the episodes was this show with Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell. The Shrink Next Door is on Apple TV. That has been, I don't know if you heard about it, but that has been the streaming option for me. A sort of sad kind of plight movie where Will Ferrell is a guy who needs, you know, clearly someone to talk to in terms of a psychiatrist, psychologist. And you can just kind of see the direction that this is going, where Paul Rudd comes off as sort of the good guy in helping him, but also seems like he has some ulterior motives. I believe there was a podcast about it. So that was my streaming option for the weekend. How about you?
Streaming, I am still just making my way through all of the James Bond films. I think I have like five more left to watch, and I will have digested the entire franchise, which, by the way, as a 20 something who did not grow up watching these movies, it's been a good journey, because Bond movies are just reacting to what's happening in the world at the time. They're very reactionary. And so it's like a very much a nice little like slice of what was happening in 1975 or whatever. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think I've probably seen like four or five. I don't know that I've seen. How many are there total, Davis? 20?
27.
27. Wow. Yeah, I don't think I've seen 10, but I've definitely seen probably close to a dozen would be a guess for me. Okay, we got to take a quick break here, and don't forget Scott Farrell coming up a little bit later, Coast to Coast, Monday Night Football previews, Giants and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you're watching that game live, you may as well pop on your web browser or download our app, which is SportsGrid, and watch the game and react with us tonight from a wagering perspective. We'll be back with the SportsGrid 60. Break.
Thanks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Small note from fantasy, Jamal Agnew, wide receiver on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who's really been active in their offense, unfortunately is going to be out for the season, placed on injured reserve. So those of you who unfortunately picked him up last week, probably a drop for you coming on Tuesday or Wednesday. Let's turn it over to Davis as we wrap it up with the Sports Grid 60.
Yeah, Craig, maybe that finally means my guy Laviska Shenault will get to play in the slot for the Jaguars, but probably not. We'll probably just keep getting bamboozled by Urban Meyer. My thought is for the Monday Night Football game tonight, the Giants against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Pretty clearly, Kadarius Toney is the best player that the Giants have on offense, and with Darius Slayton and Kenny Golladay returning from injury, I think the Giants forgot that Kadarius Toney is on their team. You know, he came out, had that huge game, and then had three targets on the first drive for the Giants in the next game before he hurt his ankle. I think if we have any faith, if we need to have any faith left in the Giants, we need to see a huge Kadarius Toney game tonight, you know, if they have any chance of winning. But I unfortunately think we're going to see lots of Saquon Barkley running into the butts of his offensive linemen on first and second down.
Did I get the name right on the Detroit guy, Davis? Is Isaiah Stewart? Is that the guy fighting with LeBron James?
Yes.
Is that the guy? Okay.
Yes.
Listen, Isaiah Stewart, man, I feel for you here because you got no shot here. Like literally the one, this is the equivalent of some D lineman going after Tom Brady. I know you're upset. I know you had a real hard time. I know your face was bloodied, but LeBron James is an untouchable player in the NBA. And unfortunately, you had to find that out really the hard way, I think, last night and even in the future. I mean, there are some people that say you got to know better. I would just say this is one you just have to very simply take your L and move on. You are not going to win this battle against LeBron James. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks to Connell over at LTN. Thanks, of course, to Danny and Ryan on our graphics. Of course, thanks to Brett Levy, our producer. And for my co-host, David Smatic, I'm Craig Mish. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others?
Nah.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.